Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the show. Today I have a special guest, one of the less than a handful of broadcasters that you're ever going to hear me recommend, Richie Allen of The Richie Allen Show, across the pond, as they say. Good morning, Richie.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're waiting for a snowstorm here.
Yeah, in the mountains there. We've had snow in Spain today, my friends, because I lived on the Costa del Sol for a time. And my friends who are still there are blown away, not literally blown away, but they're kind of flabbergasted that they've had a sprinkling of snow in southern Spain. So, it's a time for crazy weather.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I saw this morning that Italy has not just got a bunch of snow, but they also had an earthquake. And I'm looking at how many earthquakes Italy's happening, and I'm wondering, you know, what did they do to piss off the weather makers?
And there's so much truth in that, and you know, we could do three shows on that, on weather modification. You're right, every time I see something like that or hear about it, my thoughts are very much like yours. I think, well, what's that really all about, and has somebody engineered that? And of course, you and I are not idiots. We're perfectly prepared to accept that, you know, it might just very well be a natural earthquake. Thing is, you just don't know.
No, you don't know. I mean, years ago, I coined the phrase, whoever calls the weather makes the weather.
That's right, absolutely right.
But, you know, there was a time, and I will admit, like everybody else, that when people would talk about subjects like weather creation or modification, I would say the same thing. Oh, no, that's conspiracy theory.
That's right, until we found out that an international agreement was signed many years ago not to mess with the weather.
Right, exactly.
Why would you do that unless you could, in fact, mess with the weather? You're absolutely spot on.
Well, you know, here in the U.S. many years ago, Dennis Kucinich, before he was forced out of office because he was against the war, he actually was proposing a bill in Congress to stop chemtrails. So, you know...
That's right, Maria. That's right. Well done. I'd forgotten all about that.
Right.
And a lovely gentleman who is in the anti-war movement, who David Swanson, who used to speak with me. In fact, I haven't spoken with him for a long time. He's a lovely guy. I think David managed Dennis's presidential campaign, and he mentioned that very thing to me. Well done. That's a blast from the past. I've forgotten all about it.
I know. My mind sometimes frightens me. But the other
thing... Never mind like an elephant, yeah. I'm never like an elephant.
At least I don't look like an elephant.
No, you don't look like one, but you've got a memory like one.
Well, the other thing he did was he tried to get a Department of Peace inside the government. And people have forgotten how good he was. And then when he spoke out against the Iraq War, of course, you know, the powers that be managed to put, you know, get him out of office and put their own guy in his place, just like they did to Cynthia McKinney.
That's right. Yeah, he was torn apart, thrown to the wolves.
Right, because you look at this election, if you want to call it an election, and it just seems like no one talks about peace anymore. That's not even a word any candidate uses anymore. I don't think anywhere around the world.
No, and I mean, I guess you'll probably want to talk a little bit about the inauguration and what's going on in terms of how it's being reported over here. You're right, because I think a mutual friend of ours has called Donald Two Mouths, or President Two Mouths. You know, he says one thing and then says another thing the following day, does one thing, says another. All the talk of, moving away from interventionism during the campaign and getting away from, you know, wars for profit and that. And of course, he's not been in the job very long. And forgive my dog there, she's just gone crazy. Oh. I'll deal with that very quickly. I think my partner is coming home from work. Good, yeah, she's coming, so she'll stop. But Maria, yeah, he all of this during the campaign, and then after he was elected, he talked about making the, you know, rebuilding the nuclear armament division of the US military, spending vastly more money on the military. So it has been an absolutely incredibly interesting time. I don't know if you want to talk about the pros and the cons of people supporting him, because while I agree with you, and you've maintained this thing for years, and this is why I have great respect for you, you're voting for two sides of the same coin, no matter who gets in, and the House always wins. But I'm actually quite happy that the people have been motivated to see through the mainstream media, to see through the lies of the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and those people. And even if they're misguided in supporting Donald Trump, which I think they probably will, I think they obviously are misguided, at least it might be coming from a good place. And when he inevitably lets people down, Maria, which of course he will, maybe these people won't go home in complete fatigue and disgust. Maybe this will be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and it will get people, you know, completely in tune with what's really going on and who really pulls the strings. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, you know, I have to agree. I mean, I've been trying to look at, you know, from a even a spiritual perspective, why Trump? And the only thing I can come up with is he might just be the right man to take this country down to ashes so we can start over.
Yeah, because recent guests on our program have pretty much echoed what you said there, is that one way or another, people are going to, after the experience of this guy and what he does, and you know, I've called him, even before the election, I said he was Israel's candidate, that he was a Zionist choice because of the things he was saying about Israel and Palestine and Gaza. And of course, because of his friendship with Netanyahu. And we've seen, of course, since he was elected, that he was like the U.S. embassy in East Jerusalem and all this sort of stuff. I just hope that, and I feel it in my bones, actually, that this catastrophe, which will unfold over the next year or so, will, and many of our guests have said this, will show people, right, it's time now to move away from the idea that you can vote your way out of this. You're going to have to access, to change things, you're going to have to access a higher level of consciousness than that. Mm. And I know that's something you've worked on for years.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very interested in it.
Well, you know, years ago I read the book Vote Scam by the Collier brothers. And they were exposing in the book how they threw the vote with computers in the 1970s. And one of the lines I remember the most from the book was, you can't vote the bastards out because you didn't vote the bastards in.
That's right.
And, that's, you know, right, cost them their lives.
Yeah. You know, I've lectured, not often now, but I've lectured on in media production to 20-somethings over the years. And after I became conscious of the information that we talk about and the other side of the news, I used to say to them, you know, does it ever occur to you that the system for, and you can define it any way you want, but it provides you with the choices. You don't get to pick the candidates yourself. They're given to you by the wealthy elite who shower them with great jobs, executive positions at major companies, millions and millions of dollars. So your way of putting it in your turn of phrase is absolutely fantastic. That's absolutely right. You didn't vote them in to begin with.
Exactly.
You were given a choice between two horses owned by the same company or by the same group who couldn't care less which one you vote for.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I still highly recommend the book Vote Scam. Both of the authors are dead. But one of them, they were brothers, one of them, their daughter, took on their work. And I believe she still got the website up, votescam.com. And then, of course, you go from there to the fabulous work of Greg Palast, who right now is looking to raise money to play his entire movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, live on Facebook. And, you know, so many ways that they stole the election that it was almost irrelevant whether or not Russia interfered, because there was so much shenanigans going on every other level.
Well, there was, you know, and I mean, here, the media here in the UK is still reporting as fact that the Russians, you know, influenced, and in fact, they're saying here, heavily influenced the U.S. election. And what's staggering about that for me, and I use the word staggering quite a bit, but I am staggered, mm-hmm. is that nobody's reporting that the DNC email servers have not been forensically analyzed by any law enforcement office in the country. It's basically a question of the CIA saying, this is the way it is, believe us, and shut up. Right. Report and repeat what we're saying and shut the hell up. No evidence whatsoever. Now, Maria, you and I have been around the block. We know that these major power countries have been spying on one another, even the ones that are supposed to be friendly,
right.
The UK and the US. The United States spies on Britain and vice versa. The French spy on the Spanish, who spy on the Belgians. This has been going on forever and a day. But did they in some way try to influence the election? The Russians, why would they? I know that there will be people who would say, well, Richie, they might have done because they knew that if Hillary Clinton got in, that she would have, you know, possibly pushed very hard for a further U.S. intervention in Syria. She would have pushed harder and harder for further NATO encroachment on Russia. And I know people would say that to me, and they would say I'm very naive. But I'm not naive, because what they thought they'd get from Clinton, they're going to get from Trump anyway, because I believe that while on the one hand he might go to Moscow and meet with Vladimir Putin, his billionaire friend, and all might appear to be good, Trump has surrounded himself with neocon lunatics who are going to push very hard for a, I suppose, ramping up of tensions with Iran, which is just another way of going after Russia and, of course, China anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I would say, you know.
Exactly. So to me it was, we either go to hell quickly or we go to die a slow death. But you've been looking, you know, I've been watching the news, and for the past year, maybe 2 years, the demonization of Russia has amped up in the American press. And if people think that's going to change, their war plans for Russia is going to change because of Trump, all they need to do is look at the people he's putting in his cabinet. You know, they totally disagree with him. You know, Mad Dog Mattis said that Russia's the problem. You know, Trump's going to do what he's allowed to do, which isn't going to be much.
It's not the best nickname in the world, is it, Maria? Mad Dog. I mean, it doesn't instill you confidence.
It doesn't make me feel too good, that's for sure.
This is the guy who said that whenever he meets anybody, his first thought is, how do I kill them if I have to kill them?
Right.
This is a nutcase, right?
Right. And a guy who says killing people is fun. This is a man who says it's fun. So here we have, you know, egotistical sociopaths, billionaires, you know, looking to destroy every department that they're being touted to head. So to me, I just see it as the destruction of my own country by its own people from the inside.
Absolutely right. I mean, he certainly hasn't in any way drained that swamp. He's, one of our listeners sent us a tweet the other day and said, in fact, what he's done is he's drained the swamp, but then he's turned the pump on the White House and he just opened the valve.
Exactly.
So he pulls them all back into the White House, basically.
Exactly.
These neocon nutcases who plan to invade 7 countries in as many years to keep turmoil and bloodshed and chaos in the Middle East, and they're all there again, John Bolton. I mean, what an absolute maniac John Bolton is.
I know. But, you know, there was a story that broke this morning in the Huffington Press about Eric Prince and his part steering the election and the FBI against Hillary Clinton. It's quite an excellent article. And people don't realize that Eric Prince of, you know, Blackwater fame, who's, you know, a criminal, is also advising Donald Trump, and he's also the brother of Betsy DeVos, who he's putting in the Department of Education. So
yeah, I mean, it's,
the more you look at it, the web is very thick. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's cronyism and it's nepotism. I mean, with his son-in-law, Kushner, is that the guy's surname? It is Kushner, isn't it? And his ties to Israel. And there can't be any conflict of interest. I mean, there are conflicts of interest everywhere you look.
Oh, absolutely.
It's as simple as that, you know. Especially ExxonMobil, right. your Secretary of State, Tillerson. Yeah, you're going to be, former ExxonMobil guy. It's staggering to me. It's a puppet show, Maria. It's a joke.
It's a circus. It's more like a circus, after 146 years. The Barnum and Bailey Circus is closing their doors this year.
Can I ask you this? I'd love to get your opinion on this. I know you're supposed to be asking the questions, but I suppose I revert to type here.
No,
I can't help myself. But I mean, you look at the. Do you think there's any possibility at all, that there is some level of authenticity to Trump? As misogynistic and as foolish and as stupid and as pig-headed as he is, that maybe, and I've talked this out with people like Paul Craig Roberts and others, and we've had a good chat about this, maybe that those people who put him in place maybe bit off a little bit more than they can chew, because maybe some of the positions that he has declared on certain issues, maybe deep down Trump, holds these positions maybe dearly to himself, believe these positions. I'm thinking about his position on vaccines. I had Andy Wakefield on the show a couple of weeks back, and he said his meeting with Trump was very, very positive, and he believed that Trump was concerned about what makes up vaccines in terms of ingredients, and that Trump had personal experience of it, and he promised. And now we hear that RFK is going to be appointed to go and have a look at it. What I'm saying is, Marie, I'm not an idiot. I'm not changing my position at all. Yes, Trump was placed by the Zionist, lobby we talked about, by the Zionist puppet masters. But at the same time, he is an egomaniac. And these people are not perfect either. And maybe Trump might, in some small way, come back to haunt them. What do you think?
Well, I could give you the short answer, and then I'll give you the long answer. Because your question was, do I think there's any authenticity to Trump? And I think there is when he's threatening other people. He means to go after them. When he says he's going after them, he lives for revenge. But as far as authenticity about what he's going to do for we the people, no. The big answer is no. And I am a little disappointed in some of the people that I know you've interviewed too, defending Trump and really believing in him. I can't understand how people I thought were intelligent that are able to fall for this bullshit. Because you have to remember, Richie, I grew up in New York City when Trump was coming up, when he was big in the 70s and whatnot. And everybody in New York City knew he was a dirtbag way back when. And, my mama used to say, a leopard doesn't change its spots. So if he had authenticity, I think your question's also asking if he has any strength of character, is no. He's cheated on his wives. He's assaulted women. He's got rape charges against him. He's cheated people in business. He's stiffed people out of their payments. Just on one hotel, $5 million. So the man has character, but it's all bad character.
It's all bad character. And of course, we can't forget that when you were talking about him coming up in New York, he was basically chosen by the banks to homogenize Manhattan, to ethnically cleanse Manhattan through gentrification. They gave him good loan bad loan after good loan to buy up every square inch of property in New York City and kick New Yorkers out of there.
Exactly.
And make it a yuppie heaven. That's what he did.
Well, but he also had his rental agents on his buildings put a big letter C on people's applications if they were colored. So he kept black people out. And you got to remember, his father was supported by the KKK. And his father was basically a pimp. So this guy's lived his life around prostitutes, cheaters, and white supremacists. So he can bring in as many black comedians into Trump Tower as he wants, because I think that's his way of trying to say, oh, I'm not a racist. But yet he'll slam one of our civil rights heroes, John Lewis, mercilessly.
You know, regardless, and I agree with every word you said, it's going to be, the first 100 days are going to give it all away, I think. You know, people are saying, wait a year and a half. You'll see within the first 3.5 months, I think people will finally see.
Right.
Those who supported him will see very, very quickly. They will say, oh my God, how many of these independent media heroes, these so-called truthers, who've thrown everything behind the guy, how many of them will have the courage to come out and say, right, you know what, I got that terribly wrong.
Right.
I won't quote that again. I doubt there'll be too many of them.
No, you know, I was thinking about that just yesterday. I said, when Trump crashes and burns, how are these people, because now they're stuck having to defend him. How are they going to defend what's coming down the road? And I don't think we're going to need a year to see it. I mean, he's says he wants to take the first 3 days off to enjoy his inauguration victory. So this is the same guy who said he was going to cut his inauguration short because he wanted to get right to work. And, I, you know, when I see people posting that he wants to take 3 days off, I say, how about taking 4 years off?
You know, that's got echoes of George W. Bush, who spent less time in the office than any president in history.
Exactly.
Because, again, George W. Bush was another egomaniac and was easily controlled. And I ultimately believe that Trump was chosen because it is easy to control egomaniacs. So people think, well, they think, well, no, surely it's the opposite. Surely an egomaniac is more difficult to control. No, it isn't. You pander to their ego. What they'll do is they'll send Trump off all around the world on statesman-like visits. And while he's gone, and while he's wining and dining with Putin and the Queen of England, and I'm sure you go and see the Danish royal family. He likes pretty women. They've got some pretty princesses there. He loves that. While all this is going on, Mike Pence and Tillerson and all these nutcases back home, well, they'll be doing the dirty work. That's what will inevitably happen, I believe.
Well, I mean, his own son, and I can't tell them apart, so I just call them Beavis and Butthead. But his own son said that Mike Pence is going to be in charge of domestic and foreign decisions. So it's like Trump is just going to be the figurehead, because my other opinion is the powers that be truly wanted Pence in. So I think they're working. Yeah, I think they'll be the ones working to get Trump impeached so they can end up with the president they wanted from the beginning.
And of course, Pence is an arch neocon and a unashamed Rothschild Zionist. So there you have the Dick Cheney of the administration.
Oh, yeah.
We all knew, didn't we? I mean, the American people didn't know, and it wasn't reported. But we knew that Bush was... I used to compare Bush to the character in the Scorsese film Casino, the character that gets to buy the casino. He gets the money off the Teamsters. And Robert De Niro says in the narration, you know, this guy didn't know anything. It wasn't his job to know anything. It was his job to pretend that he was the manager of the casino.
Right.
And that's what George Bush did. Well, Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz and... Chris Dahl and all the rest of them, you know, plotted the course of history during that 8-year period. Wars for profit, lies about weapons of mass destruction, lies about 9/11, and Bush giggled and partied his way through those 8 years.
Oh yeah, and don't forget, Bush took the same approach to Putin that Trump is taking. Because if you remember, when Bush, in his early days, met with Putin, he came back to America and said, Putin's a great guy because I saw his soul. Do you remember that?
I remember it well.
Right.
And that's a brilliant analogy to draw, because it's exactly what's going on here.
Right. So he wasn't seeing his soul after a few months after he said that. But, that was the BS that we got, you know, at the time. But I do want to backtrack. When you talked about Trump and Andy Wakefield, you know, I interviewed Wakefield years ago when, you know, nobody would touch him with a 10-foot pole. And I love his work and I love him. But the only pick that I agree with, which I don't even know will go through anything that Trump did, was to put Bobby Kennedy Jr. in charge of that. I said, wow, one pick I actually agree with, but, you know, taking on the vaccine and big pharmaceutical industry here, I would be really stunned if that happens.
I was going to ask you a question on that. I mean, Has that actually been confirmed by Team Trump yet?
Well, it hasn't been confirmed yet by anybody. I mean, I did read an article by Bobby Kennedy Jr. where he said he was approached and asked, but there was no definite agreement on that. And, you know, people are talking about Trump's youngest son having autism because of the way he appeared during, you know, the fracas that was the campaign. And that could be why Trump is, you know, interested in autism and vaccines, because perhaps his youngest son is autistic.
Might be genuine, in other words. Yeah, it might very well be genuine, and he might mean it when he says, why should anybody be mandated? Why should there be mandatory vaccinations? He might mean that. You know, you and I know, and again, I go back to this, I keep saying this, and I'm really echoing David, really, it's this shades of grey thing. For too many people, everything is black and white. Mm-hmm. And we both know that ultimately, when you add up all the sums, all the numbers, Trump amounts to a Zionist neocon-controlled puppet. That's what he is. However, there are shades of grey. The fact is, the guy is human. Despite all his failings, the terrible misogyny, the things you described earlier on about women, it doesn't mean that the guy doesn't think, well, it's outrageous to tell people they have to have a vaccine. Now, I agree with you. I think, I hate to sound so pessimistic. Even if Trump is genuine about it, as you just hinted at there, Marie, it ain't going to go anywhere. Right. It ain't going to go anywhere. It's as simple as that. You and I both know this. You know, the way to stop this mandatory vaccination is massive amounts of people need to stand up in states around the country and protest at places where they want to force people to have these vaccines, protest at state legislatures, stand together and say, no freaking way, ever.
Right.
Not having it. But, yeah, I think Trump probably, you know, thinks, yeah, it's not a good thing. Why should we be telling people? But he can be persuaded.
Right. Plus, he can be threatened. I mean, you try to take on big pharmaceutical. Look how long it's taken for them to legalize medical marijuana because of the pharmaceutical industry.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, now he wants to put in Jeff Sessions, who honestly believes that good people don't smoke pot. I'm like, every politician should be required to smoke pot, so we might actually have peace talks.
You might have people talking about how to avoid killing people, yeah, as opposed to pursuing policies that result in the destruction of hundreds of thousands of people a year, you know?
Right.
I mean, isn't it unbelievable to see these Hollywood celebrities? You know, again, just to bring a bit of balance and fairness, and I know you're on top of this, you know, all this talk about Trump and all this disgust being expressed by certain Hollywood celebrities, part of the Los Angeles celebrity fraternity. How sickening these people are. General Salente said to me two nights ago, they had lockjaw when Obama was dropping 26,000 bombs from drones last year on the Afghan-Pakistani border, elsewhere. They had lockjaw when Yemen was being bombed into the Stone Age by Saudi Arabia using American intelligence and weaponry and advice. But Trump mocks somebody with a disability, which if he did do that, is terrible. Nobody would ever excuse it. It's the lowest form of intelligence. But really, compared to what Obama's been doing for 8 years, you know, grow up here in Hollywood, have some guts, and be a bit consistent when you're calling out these people, because Obama is a warmongering, murderous, human rights abusing criminal who should be locked up for the rest of his life.
But the truth of the matter is, what else is new? Okay, America's been at war for 246 years of its history. So Obama just continued and expanded Bush's wars that were based on lies. You know the whole David Kelly story and the UN weapons inspectors and all of that. And you know, Trump's not going to be any different, because everything I'm reading is amping up for war. So, you know, I'm not defending Obama, but I will say this about Hollywood, because that's the question you're asking. And I saw all those terrible memes about Meryl Streep. And here's my view on that from a spiritual perspective, because I did post this and I hope it made people stop and pause. All I wrote was, everybody wakes up at their own time.
Yes.
And that video was so disturbing that people really believed, myself included, there's no way he can survive this. But no matter what he does, he survives. So, you know, he's a puppet of the Rothschild Zionists. The other way I feel about it is I've covered Hollywood and the Zionist control of Hollywood for so many years, it's boring. But you have to also look at actors and actresses. You know, they make their living being somebody or something else because they can't handle reality. That's always been my feeling, okay? I could be wrong, Richie. But to spend your whole life pretending to be other people doesn't really say that your head's in the right place on a certain level. And then you have the media controlled by the same Zionists who don't talk about the wars. Most Americans have no idea we're in war. It's not like in the 60s where Vietnam was on the TV every night of the week on TV news. Most Americans have no idea that the war in Iraq and Afghanistan is still going on, let alone Syria. Because don't forget, the media, and remember George Bush, mission accomplished. Then Obama said the war is over. Well, we're still sending troops there. And Americans don't get that information. And if they're getting most of their news from TV, which unfortunately most of them are, they don't even know we're at war. Because I've been asking, where's the anti-war movement for the past 12 years?
Well, you know, Marie, on that, that's a brilliant point. When I was studying television and radio at the University of Salford here in Manchester, in Greater Manchester, I remember being lectured by a great lecturer, an Irish woman. This is way back now, and she was talking about what happened in the corridors of power in the Pentagon after Vietnam. And you just hit the nail on the head. And some of your listeners might not know this, but a decision was made because the U.S. news networks absolutely reported the truth about the Vietnam War while it was going on. And Americans were having their dinner and having their supper, and they were seeing this carnage on television, and they were getting the full picture.
Exactly.
What was going on in Vietnam. And a decision was made after that in the mid-1970s. This can never happen again. And what came out of that was journalists embedding. Embedding journalists with troops and with battalions so that you could control what they say. And what also came out of that was what you've described on many of your brilliant programs on Maria.net. You've described this for years. They also decided the military-industrial complex using huge companies like Time Warner, latterly, General Electric and many others, we better own the media. The sooner we do, the better. Because then they will not report on the horrors of war. Right. And people won't even know that we're at war, as you just described there.
Exactly. So, you know, there's so much that goes into, you know, a question like that. You know, but the bottom line is to see the man who's going to be president react and threaten like a big baby. Everyone and anyone that says anything about him, like he has nothing else to do. I don't even answer all the crap that people post about me on Facebook or whatever. And I'm not about to step into, you know, the most important job you could have in this country. So, you know, everybody knows what his triggers are. And they're going to be pressing on those triggers until they drive him more insane than I believe he already is. I think he's got an advanced case of dementia. Richie, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Richie Allen and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars, roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Welcome back to the Maria Heller Show. Here I am talking with Richie Allen of the Richie Allen Show. Richie, of course, is in the UK. You can get over to richieallen.co.uk. Check out his site. Richie's show is also helped along and supported by David Icke. So you kind of know where we're coming from. And I think that, Richie, our appreciation and knowledge of David's work makes us stand out more than any other broadcasters out there.
I think so, Maria, yeah, because as we're seeing this week, particularly this week with an anti-Semitism charity in the UK making some noise about David and accusing David of anti-Semitism, that coming out of the fact that, you know, David, in terms of researchers, writers, and public speakers, is kind of left on his own now, while InfoWars and others who've been around for years are now going mainstream, like you're not, of course, present company excluded. But while he's out on his own and prepared, having the courage to address these issues and ask questions about them, and that informed a lot of what I do when I discovered one of his books, the World Trade Center book, Alice in Wonderland, back in the early 2000s. And I know you've always been a friend and an admirer of him doing that. But you mentioned it earlier on, Marie, you know, there aren't very many truly independent shows left anymore which will go down the road that the information takes them and won't deviate from that for any reasons, like commercial sponsorship or because I don't want to be embarrassed,
right,
or because, you know, they won't. And that's why I've always admired him. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to get to know him very well over the last few years. We had a terrific day and a terrific weekend, actually, just this weekend gone. David gave another, you know, marathon, but brilliant 12-hour presentation in Manchester, where I'm based. Outstanding stuff. I mean, it's just incredible to see somebody deliver that.
Absolutely.
Without any notes, Maria.
I always tell people, you know how we all come in here with a mission, and sometimes I question the sanity of what I do for a living, because this is so much work and it's so mind-blowing. You know, without my spirituality, I'd probably go insane with what I cover and have for 20 years. But when I look at David's body at work, I say, man, I'm glad David got that chore instead of me. So of course, I'm happy to help him along. I'm a little sad at the phonies in the business that have used and abused him for content. But now when it's no longer popular, you know, they all have sold their souls to the Trump puppet show. But I don't really care, because I know David is a very strong soul. He can survive anything. But to call David an anti-Semite just shows how stupid people are. Because people don't see the difference between Zionism and Judaism. I have done at least 10 shows explaining the difference between Judaism and Zionism. And that's separate of Semites, okay? The true Semites are the Sephardic Jews, who are in turn the Palestinians. But, you know, for people to turn to David, that means they've never read his book, they've never done any homework, they've never done any research, and they want to join the You're an Anti-Semite band.
Absolutely right.
So, you look, you can't fix ignorance. Yeah, I don't waste time on them. Listen, last night I was on Hulu, and I saw a movie called Alien Reptilian Legacy, made in 2016, and David's in the movie. Mary Rodwell out of Australia is in the movie, which was interesting because I interviewed her about her UFO group. God, it had to be 18 years ago. So that was interesting. But David said something interesting when they asked him about, you know, the reptilian agenda, aliens. David said, I never discount anything. I go where the story is and I do the homework.
Simple as that. And that's how you have integrity. Regardless of where the information takes you, you go there and you report on what you find. And you don't give any time or waste any time thinking about the consequences of that or the implications of that. It's as simple as that.
Right. I mean, you talk about, you know, Trump being authentic. Nothing about him is authentic. Not his hair, not his brain, not his wife's breast, nothing. But you look at David, and David has integrity, and he's authentic. What you see is what you get.
That's right, and he's never changed, and he's stuck to his principles and his guns for 27 years. It's mind-boggling.
Right. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of guts and a whole lot of brain power to keep going this long when we're supposed to be in our golden years. I want
to. I'm still only a kid. I'm at least 10 years younger than. Well, I'm 20 years younger than David. I'm guessing I'm about 5 years younger than you, Ms. Heller. That's what I'm guessing anyway. I'm not. Of course, I'm in my early 40s now. Look, it takes. I can't even imagine what it takes.
You're just a baby. You're just a pup. I was reading about Brexit this morning and Theresa May. And one of the things that she said that kind of threw me, and actually I was reading this in a German newspaper, if you believe you're a citizen of the world, you're a citizen of nowhere, she says.
Yes, that's right.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? You know, back in the 60s, we used to say that we were world citizens, you know, when we considered the environment and friends and love and peace. And now she says, if you believe you're a citizen of the world, you're a citizen of nowhere. What the hell's going on with her?
Yeah, because, I mean, the world citizen thing, you know, if I'm right and it's just my opinion, was always part of that agenda to eventually bring us to a one world government and, you know, to get us thinking not as nationals within, you know, our national boundaries and having pride in our nationality. But to get us thinking like, oh, you know, citizens of the world, we're all in it together kind of a thing. That's just my opinion. What is interesting, Maria, is yesterday she gave some minute detail at a press conference in London about what Brexit will mean. And I'm not flummoxed because I know that ultimately we're all being played for fools, but she did say that she reiterated that leaving the European Union means leaving the European single market. Now, she reiterated that, which is a good thing if she's telling the truth, but you can't necessarily believe that. But at the end of a 42-minute speech, she said something which I've been saying myself for nearly a year, just under a year, nearly a year, even before the referendum. I kept ramming it home that the European Union couldn't possibly punish the United Kingdom for leaving the European Union because it exports far more into the United Kingdom than the United Kingdom exports into Europe. And I made the analogy 1,000 times before the referendum. Can you imagine, Maria, if the chief executive of Citroën or Mercedes or BMW, if they learn that the German and French governments were going to impose tariffs on UK goods coming in, they would assassinate the German and the French prime ministers. Because what the UK would do if they would just respond with like for like. Well, okay, we sell far less to you than you do to us. If you want to play that game, we will bury you.
Right.
We will bury you up to your necks in it. Now, May said yesterday pretty much what I've been saying. She said England or the UK won't tolerate any talk of punishment. And she said the consequences will be catastrophic for Europe. So what's going on? And I think what's going on is this idea of compartmentalisation. Yes, May and the Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson and the Defence Secretary Philip Hammond and all these people are puppets. Yes, they are. But they're also on a need-to-know basis. And sometimes they actually are speaking from their own point of view or their own opinion. Right. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we're going to get what May said yesterday, which would be ideal, which would be proper Brexit. I don't think we will. I think what they're going to do, Maria, is they're going to mess this around for about 18 months. You know what they're going to do then? They're going to say, do you know what? It's been a long time since that referendum. I bet you opinion has changed in the country. I think we should have another one.
Right.
I think that's where we'll end up, right?
Right. Well, people were calling for that right after the referendum.
Right.
You know, but I'm looking at her and she sounds an awful lot like Donald Trump because he wants to do the same thing. You know, he wants to punish, you know, auto dealers selling their cars here with tariffs and whatnot. And just to show how ignorant he is, he made his case against Toyota without even realizing that Toyota is not an American car company. It's a Japanese car company.
That's right. And if I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong, but Toyota would have maybe more manufacturing plants maybe here than it does in America. Maybe I'm wrong now. I'm just guessing. I know they've got a big presence in the UK. But you know what, Marie? I wouldn't mind if Trump came out and said, look, we want to have good relationships. And if an American wants to buy a Mercedes or a BMW, they should be allowed to. We have no problems with that.
Right.
But this is from the heart of Trump Tower. What I want to do is, I want to get factories up and running again to build good American cars to compete with these cars and put people back to work. If he put it like that, and he meant it, how could you in any way argue with that? But of course, no, he does the stupid thing talking about punitive measures and tariffs and all this garbage, which is just unworkable and ultimately makes no sense. But of course, the idiots, you know, again, in the so-called alternative right independent media, of course, they cheerlead this and go, oh, brilliant, Donald, yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
Right.
And it's just absolutely not.
Well, this shows how disconnected they are. We go back to what I said earlier. Trump apologists will make excuses and accept anything he does. He can piss on them and that'll be okay. But the truth of the matter is, he's so out of touch. First of all, he knows he's not bringing those jobs back. When they left for good. He's not addressing the bigger issue of artificial intelligence replacing our jobs. They're talking about like 50% of jobs worldwide will be automated by robots by 2035. Then when he talks to the coal industry, we didn't destroy the coal industry, the market did. Okay,
yeah,
so, you know, I'm trying to remember who it was years ago I was talking, maybe Dr. Helen Caldicott, on nuclear war and if we had a big war or whatever. Because we've had so much manufacturing and so many factories shut down in America, that if we had a rebuild to get those factories running, as we, you know, in World War II was easy for Americans. We just took over the factories, made them bomb factories, used them for what we had to. But this particular person estimated it would take 10 years to bring back the factories and build what we need to be independent. 10 years. Most people would die in those 10 years.
Well, they would. And you and I both know that those behind Trump have no intentions of trying to get manufacturing restarted across the United States of America
and
put people back to work.
Of course
not. No intention of it.
Of course not.
Because that doesn't fit with the Hunger Games Society agenda, which is basically starve to death millions of people around the world, condemn them to poverty.
Right.
There's no way. And oh God, I mean, we see it's not just the US. We see it in Ireland. We see it in Greece. You talk about Brexit and the European Union. You know, a union which has condemned the countries of Greece, Italy, Portugal, Spain, and the Republic of Ireland to absolute poverty, to zero growth. Every asset of any value in those countries has been stripped through the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and siphoned off to major corporations. It's the same in the United States. Anybody who thinks that Trump is not there to oversee that has another thing coming. It's really that serious. You know, this blind love and devotion they have for this guy because he shoots from the hip and he's not part of the elite and all that nonsense, you know. Another billionaire puppet.
Absolutely. Well, that's how they got Bush in, because they knew he was an idiot. But hey, he's the kind of man that we would want to have a beer with. And people keep saying, well, at least Trump keeps saying what's on his mind. And my answer to them is always the same. But look what's on this guy's mind. I mean, this is sociopathic thinking. But, you know, with what you're saying and talking about the economy, I'm sure you saw that story. Oh, actually, it was in The Guardian. World's 8 richest people have the same amount of wealth as half the world, and they're men, of course. Of course, right. What I get interested in, and though they never mention the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds when they count up the richest people.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And that's a brilliant point to make, because even though Oxfam, the charity which made the report, even though their hearts might be in the right place, the fact is they're not going far enough up the ladder. They're not. They're picking a handful of multi-billionaires. But these people, again, are minions of the Rothschild, Rockefeller, Oppenheimer, Warburg, bank and family cartels.
Yeah, and you notice they never put their names on a list. It always seems to start with Bill Gates. It never goes higher than him.
Never goes any higher. That's absolutely right, yeah. I mean, you couldn't quantify the amount of money the likes of Nat Rothschild are dealing with. You know, you couldn't. But this is it, and you know, I'm going to be speaking about this on our show a bit later on, Maria, because of all this anti-Semitism nonsense that's been thrown around this week, talking about who these people are, and you know how they ultimately. And you said yourself earlier on, you've done at least 10, maybe a dozen, maybe 20 programs on this. But I think because there's so few of us willing to go down these roads, I think you have to do it more and more.
All right.
And say to people, look, this is who these people are. They've been around centuries.
Right.
You know, they interbreed with the royal families of Europe through the financial institutions they own. They basically suck the land and the world dry. Their ultimate ambition, of course, is to reduce us down to about, I don't know, you know the numbers.
Right.
Is it 100 million or 500 million and 7 billion? And most of us will be worker bees.
Right. Well, you know, but nobody wants to do the homework. They want to believe what their TV news tells them or some fake news site tells them. And I'm glad David put out that video. I think it was about 40 minutes on fake news. That was after, I guess, he found out about my experience on your show and getting demonized on YouTube. I was very grateful. But I love when people feel they have to defend me because I truly can defend myself.
You can, and you don't care either. But you know what was interesting about that, and in case anybody doesn't remember, Maria did the proper journalistic thing about Pizzagate. She put the alternative point of view to the story, which is exactly what any decent journalist should do. And then you were thrown on the YouTube video that we uploaded. What was very interesting about that, though, was we looked and we saw that at least two dozen of the most vicious comments were from YouTube accounts with no subscribers. They themselves had subscribed to nobody. So they were brand new, and I'm sure they were automatically generated accounts. They weren't even real.
Right. Hey, listen, if I let what people say about me bother me, I would have left the planet when I was a teenager. But I've always been the queen of the comeback, so I don't really worry about it.
You know what I mean? So you've got a typical brash New Yorker thick skin there. You couldn't care less, and I'd wear that.
Well, you know, David gave me good advice a long time ago because I watch and see how people like to demonize him on social media. And David's answer to me, which is a great one, he says, I never look at the comments.
Brilliant.
But for me, I just block the comments. That's what I told you. When I put something up on YouTube, I check the box for no comments.
Right, okay. Which is fair enough, and I totally understand that.
Well, yeah, they're getting free content. I don't need to hear their threats. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I've done that a couple of times. I've interviewed a couple of people, you know, ordinary people like you and I, who've got a very, very powerful personal story to tell, and a very emotional story. And these are people who've never been on the media before. And sometimes when I interview people like that, because I know they're vulnerable and they might look at the comments, I just disable the comments. You know, because I don't want, you know, to be getting abused by idiots. So I just, because you know, you and I can take it, we just laugh because we couldn't care less.
Right.
But there are people who are not able for it because they don't understand it. And I just say, well, they shouldn't have to read that, and then we disable the comments.
Well, after I was on your show, I was on someone else's show, so I prefaced my interview on the other show by saying, if after the show you want to call me a Jew bastard or a Zionist bitch or a Mossad agent, I said, please understand this. Heller was my last married name. I'm Italian. So if you want to rag on me, call me a dirty wop, call me a guinea, at least use the right terms.
Get it right.
So if I had to worry about what other people think, like I said, I would. First of all, most people don't think, so why give them the credibility?
Well, that's right. You're only giving them oxygen, and many of these people, they're not followed by anybody. Nobody pays attention to
them. No, and if they actually knew my work or your work, they would know what you're really about instead of just, you know, blasting you whatever insults they want that have nothing to do with either one of us.
No, and it's a very small price to pay when you enjoy what you do. When I say enjoy, obviously we do interview people with some very difficult things to say and some harrowing things and some we talk about the poison sometimes right. in the word, but still, you know, both of us enjoy doing what we do, and that's never going to change, no matter what anybody says about us or our guests or our motivations. But we've been around a while and it doesn't bother us, but a lot of, you know, researchers and producers, even some of the people who work with me, are not used to it, and they get really, really upset when they read Donald's book. Just, you know, just ignore it. Don't read. Why would you read the comments right. anyway?
Hey, we're listen, growing up in New York, one of the top things of business that they taught us, especially in marketing, is don't worry what people say about you in the press as long as they spell your name right, because that's the only thing people are going to remember.
Absolutely. No such thing as bad publicity.
Exactly. As long as they spell your name right, don't worry about it. Richie, thank you so much for joining me. I like to do this more often with you because it's good perspective from your side of the world.
Well, it's an honor, Maria. I loved it. The last time I was on with you, I loved it as well. I don't get to do these things very often.
No, and it's kind of fun being the interviewer, getting interviewed. It's kind of fun.
Well, it's nice to be asked my opinion for a change. You know, not that I'm shy about giving it, but it's nice to be in that situation. And you know how much I think of your show. I think it's magnificent. Yeah, like I said before, and when I introduce you, I always say, you know, there are very few people in the world with integrity doing this. The oldest podcast. I'm not trying to make you feel old. The longest running podcast on the web. And you've never deviated from your principles in all the time you've been doing it. And I can just, you know, take inspiration from that. You're an amazing woman, Maria. We're all the better for having you.
Oh, thanks so much, Richie. Well, let's talk again soon. You take good care.
Thanks, Maria. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Richie Allen. Check him out. Richie Allen Show. Anyhow, that's today's show. Tomorrow I'll be back with news of Planet of the Apes, and I've already got plenty of it. Friday, of course, the National Day of Mourning. I mean, Inauguration Day. I guess I'm never going to run out of information or stories for you, because I probably already have more than an hour for tomorrow, and tomorrow's not even here yet. Thanks for supporting the show, Maria.net. See you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.